Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Makis Daf Chaf. We begin on Yut Tes Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom. Meisive. This is back to yesterday. Where Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan told us that Maser Sheni material, although one is obligated, there is a mitzvah saseh, as Tesis points out, to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. However, in terms of a leisa saseh, if one violates this halacha, he eats it outside Yerushalayim. That isur, that lav, is only applicable once the Maser Sheni had already arrived in Yerushalayim. It had been delivered to Yerushalayim. He calls it Mishayura Pnei HaChoyma. At that point, there is it's in the right location. It should be eaten there. So on the flip side, if it's taken back out and eaten outside of Yerushalayim without, you know, redemption, that triggers the lav, the malchus, upon doing that. However, prior to having arrived at Yerushalayim, even if he should eat it outside Yerushalayim, this lav, this malchus, does not apply. Okay, so only the entry into the city triggers this, consequence. And he learned it from a pasuk. Eat it in Yerushalayim, don't eat it outside. If it was enabled, it already arrived, then don't eat it outside. But otherwise, the law does not apply. Meisve, here comes a kasha from Rabbi Brisa, where it would seem that even prior to arrival in the city, if one should eat it outside Yerushalayim, there's malchus. Meisve, Rabbi Yosi Omer. We have a story of a kohen who picked a fig. She also be'yad itena shel tevel. He has in his hands a fig, which is tevel. Okay, so prior to eating it, he addresses all the obligations, the truma, the masrois. Amar, he declares as follows: Teinazu, this fig that I have. Let's address truma gedoyla. Even a kohen who can eat truma must first separate it. He has to designate a part of this fig. In this case, it's a part of the same fig as a truma gedoyla, and then he can eat the truma gedoyla. But he can't consume the fig in its tevel status. Even a kohen can't. So first he says trumasa buukta. Okay, the truma gedoyla is located. I'm designating it as the part, near the stem. So that becomes truma gedoyla. What about masa rishon, which typically goes to a levi? 10% of which goes to the kohen as trumas maser. So Maser Rishon is where? Betzfaina, on the north side of the fig. Maser Sheni, well, that's Ledroim on the south side. And it's required because it happened to be a year. Not every year requires every year, no. Maser Sheni is only the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. Maser Ani, it alternates, right? Maser Ani is the third and the sixth. So this year happened to be a Maser Sheni year. Vishnas Maser Sheni, Hub Yerushalayim. And he happens to be standing in Yerushalayim when he, made this whole arrangement. Oy Maserani Vuhubigvulim. Or, alternatively, it's not a year that requires Maser Sheni. It's the third year of the Shemitah cycle where Maserani, meant for the poor, is required. So he didn't have to designate Maser Sheni. Rather, he designated some part of the fig for Maser Ani. Oy Maser Ani Vubigvulin. And he's, even outside Yerushalayim, because in this case where there's no Maser Sheni, Yerushalayim is not a factor. So he thinks he's finished his obligations. Problem is, Trumas Maser, he hasn't really alluded to that. He took off Truma Gedoyla, which is great, and he can eat it himself, he's a kohen. Maser Rishon, he designated, okay, he's meant to give it to the Levi, even if he doesn't, it's not a lav. Maser Sheni, great, he's in Yerushalayim. Or Maser Ani, which is meant for the poor, he's supposed to give it, If he eats it, he's not going to be doing a lav. He shouldn't be eating it. It doesn't belong to him. But at this point, he's still safe. Problem is, he did not designate a part of the maser rishon and call it trumas maser, after which he could have eaten it himself because it belongs to the kohen, but he forgot to address that obligation. Achla, if he consumed a fig, loike, achas, he gets one time, one set of malkas, because it's still technically in a state of tevel. So that's if the kohen eats v'zor she'achla. Suppose a non-kohen fellow ate the same fig, he gets even more malkias. Like a shtayim, he gets twice malkas. Because, aside from the issue of Terumah's master, a non-kohen shouldn't be consuming Terumah either, which is embedded in the fig. So he did two things wrong. And the Brisa continues. The irony is that if he would have just eaten the fig without saying anything, without addressing any obligations, he would have had less punishment coming to him. That's the irony. Sheilu betchila. Now he has truma smaser and he has truma issues. Sheilu betchila achla. Had he consumed it initially in its plain tevel form, ain loike lachas. He's only liable to one malchus because of tevel. But now that he added all these names and designations, he gets more sets of malchus. That's the end of the brice. Let's analyze the brice, which says that if it's partly Maser Sheni, and he happens to be in the city of Yerushalayim, he's spared anything on account of that because he's in Yerushalayim. No problem. Tamad Isi Yerushalayim, it's only because he's in the city. Habigvulim, but suppose he was still outside the city, and he made all these declarations and designations, including part of it being designated as Maser Sheni. It would seem like he gets Malkus for eating Maser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim. He gets yet a third set of Malkus. Hold it. We're assuming that it was never delivered to Yerushalayim. In which case, he shouldn't be liable for Maser Sheni being eaten outside Yerushalayim. If it's true that that violation only gets triggered, it gets activated upon entering the city, the answer is the Aili Ve'afki. Actually, it was delivered to Yerushalayim, and he designated the, you know, things that were there, and he took it out. So since it entered the city, it must be consumed in the city. And consuming it outside the city generates a malchus. Yach, if that's the case, then it's a pretty obvious halacha ma'ila memra. There's no chiddush in this price. I mean, everything's pretty straight and simple here. Pretty obvious that a zar, you know, should not be eating truma, and that a kohen should not be eating a tevel. So there's no chiddush. There's nothing novel about this case. Why even discuss this? Answers the Gemara, there's some sort of novelty. It wasn't really a straightforward delivery into the city. Hacha b'maskin was speaking, k'goin da'ilinu b'tuvlayu. What happened was he took the tevel material and brought it to the city of Yerushalayim. While still tevel, took it out of the city and then designated all these designations. So the Maser Sheni within this material was not yet actualized. It was only there in potential. That's an interesting question. Is that considered having delivered into the city? Do we consider the Maser Sheni as having arrived in the city? Interesting question. V'kosavar. And in fact, this Brisa will hold. Yep, it is. Matonis shloi hurmu, even gifts, meaning, you know, truma, master, which were not yet separated, not yet designated, kimishu hurmu damyan, we treat them as though they're a reality. So since in this tevel was embedded a potential master sheni, it's treated as though it's there in reality, and all the halachis of which get triggered upon entering Yerushalayim. So the questioners thought, figured, it never got to Yerushalayim. Still, he gets an Allah for eating it outside the city. No, it arrived in a tevel form, and that's the chiddush. It's considered to have been there. So now if he eats it outside the city, he's chayiv malchus for eating Maser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. Really? V'savar Rabbi Yosi matanos shloi hurmu. Is that true, that Rabbi Yosi? Is it the opinion that unseparated matonics, kimishuhur mudomi, are treated as though they're separate, as though they're intact, they're there. V'ha tanan, we have a Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yosi. Here's Rabbi Yosi speaking. He's quoting Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Rashi explains. Actually, it's not Rashi anymore, it's the Rivan. Right? By the way, yesterday, we have that Rashi was Nifter, the middle of yesterday's daf. And going forward, it's his Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda Barb Nassan. And they bring that, that's his Rashi's son-in-law. In short, he's called the Rivan. So going forward, it's the Rivan. So Rivan explains that we know that when it's a machlek, it's Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. We don't reckon with Beis Shammai. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So when Rabbi Yosi quotes and relates to a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're assuming he's going to adopt Beis Hillel's shita, which we're going to see. We'll hold that undesignated, unseparated matanis, unrealized potential is not a reality. There was never a machlekes between them. Al peres shelo nigmar malachton. You have produce which was not yet completely processed, in which the chiyuv of maser was not yet activated. So in that crude state, if they were brought through Yerushalayim, v'abri Yerushalayim, you know, they were brought through the city and now they're out of the city. Sheyipada maser sheni shelahen. You can still, if you need to redeem the maser sheni, you can still do that, despite having already entered the city, which typically terminates the pidyon process. Once it enters the city, you can't be paid. But here, actual maser sheni never entered the city. It entered in an unrealized, you know, potential form. V'yachol b'chamakim, you redeem it, eat it anywhere. V'amalnechelku, when do we have a dispute, a disagreement, between Misham and Beis Hillel? And we assume like that we pass like Beis Hillel. In the following case, Alperez shenigmer malachtan, produce whose process has already been completed. Oh, now it's already chayev in you know, truma and maser, and in this state, it was taken through the city of Yerushalayim, Bavar Yerushalayim, and now it's out of the city. Interesting question: can I still redeem the maser sheni? Or do we say no? Once it was in the city, you can no longer redeem it. But it wasn't really in the city; it was embedded in the tevel. Oh, Shabisham Imram, if so, it's okay. Yachser Maser Sheni Shalahem. Sorry, Yachser, you can't, because according to Bishamai, it's a reality. The Maser Sheni has already been in the city. So even though you're in Toronto, it doesn't matter. Bring the Maser Sheni back to Yerushalayim quickly. Yachser Maser Sheni Shalahem, V'yachal B'Yerushalayim, eat it in the city. But still, I know. It was only in potential. Yipada, V'yachal B'chamakam, you can redeem it, eat it anyway. So clearly, Rabbi Yosi is now quoting Beis Hillel, whose opinion we assume he adopted, to say that unrealized potential is not a reality. Unspecified, undesignated Maser Sheni is non-existent. But if in the earlier Braisa we seem to see that Rabbi Yosi holds, undesignated Matonis are a reality. That's why he said you couldn't eat the Maser Sheni outside Yerushalayim any longer. So in our case, with the Pidyon, it should terminate the Pidyon process. You can't be Poida. Hakotu Mechitzes. Once Maser Sheni, in any format, entered Yerushalayim, even in unrealized format, it was absorbed by the walls. That's a halacha that you can't be Poida any longer. Amar Rabba. Even if it's true that unrealized Maser Sheni is considered reality, but up to a point. You see, the walls of Yerushalayim, the Mechitza, generate two halachas by Maser Sheni. A, you eat Maser Sheni within the walls, and B, once Maser Sheni enters the walls, even if you export it outside the city, you can no longer be paid. But that halacha is only with the Rabbanon. I'm concerned that if you allow to be paid, maybe you'll eat it. That second point is only with the Rabbanon. And up to a point. Okay? So, Mechitza Lechol Deiraisa, the requirement to eat Maser Sheni within the walls, that's Minat Torah. However, the point that a Mechitza will absorb the Maser Sheni and eliminate any further pidyon, redemption potential. Mechitza liklet, that's only the Rabbanon. V'chigaz Rabbanon only applied their gzera ki ise be'enei. If in fact the Maaser Sheni was visible, was intact, had already been identified as such and brought into the city, but in a state of tevel, in an unrealized form such as our situations, betivle lo goes Rabban, Rabban would not go to their gzera. It's now outside the city, no problem, redeem it. Ravina Amar, let me give you a more simple answer to this whole discussion. We started with the halacha. Only once the Maaser Sheni was in the city, may you not eat it outside the city. So the question was, the story of the Kayan with the fig, right? It sounds like if it's outside the city, he'll get Malkus upon eating Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. But why? He never entered the city. Says Ravina, I'll tell you why. The Chiddush was that the Kayan was personally, his body was in the city, but he was clutching the Maaser Sheni, it was hanging off his rod, which had been extended outside the city. He's holding onto a rod with the Maaser Sheni hanging off the other side. And the Chiddush is, since he's in the city, we consider the Maaser Sheni in the city as well. V'tifshid by the Rav Papa. And this concludes, resolves Rav Papa's question of yesterday. Whether it's considered having arrived in the city, the answer is yes. So this is very consistent with the halacha that Maaser Sheni, only once it arrives, does it trigger all the liabilities. Yeah, it arrived. It says the Mishnah, Kareach Karcha Baroishe. If Chas V'Shalom, a person in distress upon losing a loved one, expresses that distress by ripping out his hair, self-inflicting wounds, that's Aser. It's very Aser. It generates a lav and malchus. A makiv pas roish. On the other hand, if a person decides to shave off corners of his hair coming down by the temples, so he shaves the corners off. That's why it's called a makiv, because it leaves a straight circle all around. Right, you have no hair on the forehead, no hair behind your ear. In the middle, you have the peah, the corner, the temple hair. So he shaves the temple hair, generating a straight line, which now generates a full, complete circle around his head. And actually, the Rambam, interesting, Rambam says, the old-time galachim, priests, that was their mode of hairstyle. So that's a lav. One lav per peah, per corner. V'mashchis pasakonei, if a person destroys the corners of his beard, the Ravon explains, there are five corners, five areas of peah by the zakan. He says one is over here at the protruding corner of the cheekbone, one on either side of the face, and then we have two more where the cheekbone sort of meets the chin area, and then we have one in the middle of the chin. These are five corners, and actually it's a big machlekes, many different opinions in terms of the exact locations of the pa'as zakane. Therefore the Shulchan Aruch brings that a person should be careful not to use a shaver and shave anywhere in the beard, even on the mustache, because of the possibility of encountering the forbidden areas of the beard. Vasoiret srita achas alames. If a person scrapes his skin in frustration and distress upon losing a loved one, chayev, he gets malchus. Now, what about sorat srita achas al chamisha mesim? He did one scrape in honor of five mason. So you had five people died. He did one scrape as an expression of agony for all of them. Or only one mace, but he did five scrapes. In either case, he gets five times malchus. So whether it's a separate act or whether it's for a separate mace, each one triggers a malchus. If one removes his peyes, he's liable to two times malchus, as we explained, because each temple is a separate isur. Al azaken shtayim mikan or shtayim mikan v'achas malmata. Likewise, shaving a beard generates five times malchus, because of the five locations, which are meant to be off limits, two on either side of the face and one in the front, on the bottom. Rav Elazar Omer Nitlu Kulam Ke'echos and Echayv La'achas. He holds that if you shave it all at once, you know, the entire beard, Yechayv, only one Malkus. Now, how did he shave it? Ve'en Yechayv Achitlenu B'Ta'ar. Tanakama holds. He's only liable if he used a razor, which cuts all the way down to the root. Rav Elazar Omer, even other modes of shaving, Afilu L'Kati B'Malkit, even using a tweezer or some sort of plane used for carpentry, any sort of cutting instrument would be chayiv as well. Tanakama disagrees, it's not really considered standard mode of hair removal. Tanu Rabbanan, we have two pesukim regarding karcha, regarding removal of hair as an expression of agony. We have one pasuk by Koyhanim, which reads as follows, Lo yikrucho karcha, they shouldn't generate a bald spot. Karcha is lashon yachid. So each bald spot is a separate violation. Bereishim in their heads. Not specifying the specific location anywhere in their heads. Uvsarim lo yisur tusaratas, nor should they self-inflict any skin wounds, any skin, you know, scrapes. Then we have another pasuk in Sefer Devarim, referring to all of Klal Yisrael. Bonim atem, Hashem lakechem, you Hashem's dear children. Don't scrape yourself. Don't pull out hairs. It's specifically alluding to the area right, above the eyes, between the eyes. And the pasuk concludes, "Lomais." If it's done as a result of a mace, of a death of a loved one. So by the Kohanim we have singularity, like karcha, lashon yachid. We have bereishim, anywhere in the head. We don't have any reference to mace, to the reason, the cause for this behavior. By the Israelim, we have no mention of karcha, we don't have the extra ikruchu karcha. In fact, we have b'nei nechem, which seems to say it's only, you know, above the area between the eyes, but we do have a reference to mace as the reason for his behavior. So we sort of share that information between Kohanim and Yisraelim, and we equate the two. Let's see. Tanu Rabbanan. Lo yikrchu. Don't bald your hair. Yachal afilu kereach arba v'chamesh krichos. Lo yechayev ela achas. What if he does four or five of them? Four or five bald spots. He's only liable to one set of malchus. Talmud leimar. Lo yikrchu karcha. That extra pasuk, that extra repetition tells you each act is dealt with separately. L'chayev, alkal karcha v'karcha, each one generates its own liability. The pasuk continues, v'roisham, anywhere on the head. Matam lein, what's the point? What's the pasuk telling us here? Meaning, what do we learn from v'roisham? The answer is, because if you look at the other pasuk, by the Yisraelim, v'shenemar, l'yisus goydudu, v'lyisusim v'karcha, bein einechem, it specifies bein einechem, l'meis. So perhaps it's limited to that location. Yochel lo yechayv el al b'anayim b'vad, you know, where you put your tefillin. Menayim l'ram is kol ha'rosh, perhaps. Only that location. What about the rest of the head? That's why we go back to Kohanim, Tamu Lema, where it says b'roshim, l'ram is kol ha'rosh, to include anywhere on the head. Who says v'ein le'elu b'kohanim? Perhaps it only applies to Kohanim, who already have higher standards and other, you know, obligations, which Yisraelim don't have. Shiriba behen hakosuf mitzvos yisiris, where the Torah applied to them many more mitzvahs than Israel. So perhaps there, Yisr is broader. A bald spot anywhere on their head. But Yisrael menai, the rest of the nation, who says that applies? Perhaps by them it's limited to a very specific location of Bein Einechem Tamun. Nemar kan karcha, the answer is we have a gzereshav. We connect the word karcha by the Yisraelim. We have the word karcha by the kohanim, and we connect mal halon just like by the kohanim. Chayev al kol karcha v'karcha. So basically, we're seeking to export two halachas, aside from broadening the isra to the entire head area. Number two, that each individual bald spot is a separate liability. Because it says by Kohanim, lo yikrchu karcha. So these two halach want to export to the Israelim. How do we know? What right do we have to do that? Maybe Kohanim are on a higher standard. The answer is we have Gzeira Shava, which allows us to share all the information back and forth. We all know that Gzeira Shava cannot be, you know, in Gzeira Shava Lamechza. We don't do a halfway Gzeira Shava. If it's connected, it's connected all the way. So we import, we export all the halachas back and forth from the Kehanim to Yisraelim, and vice versa. Just like by the Kehanim, it's a separate violation per bald spot, number one. Number two, b'chayev ala roish kibene onayim. And liability extends throughout the entire head, not just limited to between the eyes. Afkan, the same thing over here by the Yisraelim. Both halachas are imported, chayev al korcha v'korcha. And number two, it applies to the entire roish, b'chayev ala roish kibene onayim. And likewise, we're going to export a halacha from Yisraelim to Kohanim. Just like by Yisraelim, it specifies that the reason for his behavior is because of a mace. That's when he's liable, out of distress. Afkan al mace, likewise, the Isra, the Malkus by Kehanim, is specific to a case of a mace. Asks the Gemara. So each bald spot, right, he does four or five bald spots, separate liabilities. How exactly did this happen? Hani dald vehikrichas hechidam herad ilim abzechazeh ubechamash asroi. So we're speaking that he did it successively. He was warned each time separately. Don't do that. Boom. Don't do. Pshita, obviously, of course, why would he be chayiv five times over? He did five separate isurim. What's the point of discussing this? Ela b'chad asro. Oh. So perhaps he was only warned once. Don't do a karcha. And he did five in a row. You know what? In that case, he wouldn't be chayiv five. Why would it be chayiv more than one? But now we have a mishnah coming up soon. By a nazar, where wine is off limits, right? And he was warned. Don't drink your wine. And he's drinking all day, straight. Guess what? He only gets one malchus. But if he was warned, you know, for each cup separately, don't drink, and he drinks. Don't drink, he drinks. And he ignores all these separate warnings. In this case, each act is independent of the next. Chayv al kol achas v'achas. He chayv for each one separately. So in our story, he was only warned once by the karcha. He's only chayv one. How could he be chayv more than one? Like Tzricha must be speaking like this. So we're looking for a case that is chayv separately, but still there's some sort of, you know, unusual circumstance which is a chiddush, right? Like Tzricha must be the sach. There's a certain, like a agent, some sort of hair removal agent, some sort of chemical called nasha. So he smeared, he applied the sach chamesh etzba'isav with this nasha material. He put this chemical on all five fingers and he ran it over his hair. In one shot, in one swoop. There are separate violations. Each finger is taking out a separate, you know, track of hair. And since he was warned beforehand, it's considered like five warnings. One per finger, one per swoop, one per track, one per bald spot. The havila hasro, it's a separate hasro l'chalachad b'chale for each bald spot. That's why he gets five times malchus. Now, how much hair is going to be removed to generate this liability? But kama shir, what's the shir of this bald spot? Shir karcha, ravuna oimer, we're going to have three or four shitas. Ravuna oimer, k'dei shirah miroishai. As long as the bald spot's visible. Rabbi Yechon Omer, Shon Blezer, Rabbi Shimon, ki gris. There's a very specific amount, which is called a gris. Like a bean. And we have this in the shear of a nega in Maseches Negoim. It's 36 hair, where 36 hair can grow. 6 by 6, right? Acherim Omerim, others say, k'dei shiyirah miroishai. That, so actually, these are gersa ketanoi, tamachlik stanoim, kama shiyir karcha kegris. Acherim Omerim, k'dei shiyirah miroishai. So these two shitas are included in a brayse as well. Omer avida bar chaviva, pligi ba, tlasa tanoi. Actually, there are three shitas, three opinions, in terms of the amount required for karcha. Chadoimer kigris, as we explained, Chadoimer kedeshira miroisha, as long as it's visible, Chadoimer kedesh saarais, two hair. Vikadamav kedesh saarais, some delete this opinion, and instead they substitute it with a different opinion, Ma'ayel mikadasha. The size of a of a lentil, which is a place, a makom, where four hair can grow, 2 by 2. So they delete the 2 hair and they insert the 4 hair. Kadosh, say manach, if you want to remember exactly what was what happened now, lest you think that we deleted the other shear and substituted it for the replaced it with the adasha. If you want to remember that it was done this way, with simonach, we have a interesting simon, because by heres, by a nega, we have kigris. The entire nega has to be the size of a gris. Umicha b'kadasha, the fresh skin inside it, which makes it tame, the size of adasha. So basically, when it comes back to the in terms of the list of opinions by the shear of a karcha, these two are givens. We're not deleting any of these two. So according to the final version, the second version here, we have the shita of gegris, shita of kadosha. We don't have the shita of shtei sa'aris, but we have the shita of kishiyiroa miroishai, as long as it's visible. Okay, so basically we have an assortment of shitas, yiroa miroishai, gegris, kadosha, and perhaps shtei sa'aris, the shir karcha. Tana, let's shift over to Shabbos. Hanoitel maloi piyazug b'Shabbos. Chayev, if one cuts off the amount of hair which fill the tip of a scissors. Okay, so he cut off that much hair on Shabbos, he's chayev. It's a malach of goizes, removing hair from a person. V'kama maloi piyazug. How much is that? Am ravidosh time, 2 hair. Constitute Malay Piazuk. Vatani Bilintan Abraisa. Lekar Hashtaim. The next part of the Braisa says, well, the shear of Karcha upon a death of a loved one, the shear over there is 2 hair. It sounds from the Braisa that shear applies only to Karcha, but not to Shabbos. Hey, ma, Vachain Lekar Hashtaim. No, Vachain means that's a continuation, the same shear that applies to Shabbos, applies to Karcha, that's considered a significant, you know, removal of hair. 1 is nothing, 2 is considered already a mini haircut. It's a malacha b'Shabbos, and it's a iser, it's a chiyuv regarding Karcha al hames. Rav Lezer disagrees, he says, you know what? Sorry, Tanya Mihachu, we have the same in a clear braisa, that these two things are based on the same shear. Hanoitel Maloi Piazuk B'Shabbos Chayev, V'kam Maloi Piazuk Shtam, we find in a braisa, we bring in a braisa that the shear of Shabbos, of Maloi Piazuk, is 2 hair, as the braisa clearly says so. Hanoitel Maloi Piazuk B'Shabbos Chayev, V'kam, how much is that? Maloi Piazuk Shtam. And that's Rabbi the Shit. Rabbi Lezer Omer, even one. A person shaves even 1 hair off his body on Shabbos, it already constitutes a malacha, an act of hair removal, of goizes, of shearing. Rabbi Lezer Omer Achas. Chacham say 2, Rabbi Lezer says 1. Now, Umaydim Chacham Rabbi Lezer, Chacham would agree to Rabbi Lezer. In a situation where he's being b'malakit levonis mitach shcheres, that removing white hair out of the black. So he's picking his white hair out of his black to look young, right, and fresh, which of course is forbidden. We're going to see in a minute. If one should do that on Shabbos, afilo achas, even if it's just 1 white hair, it's the intent here substitutes for lack of quantity. It deems it important. Ach sheve, right? So in this case, afilu achas, even 1 white hair, constitutes a full-fledged malacha on Shabbos, shu chayiv, and is liable. So typically, minimum is 2, except if there is special intent for cosmetic purposes. And the Gemara concludes, v'dover zeh afilu b'chayil asr, and a man is not meant to be doing this even during the weekdays. Mishmi shenema, pasuk says, lo yilbash gever simlas isha, a man refrains from wearing women's attire or beautifying himself as women do. That's not allowed even during the weekdays. But on Shabbos, It's considered a malach and it's chayiv chatas. V'amakiv pas rish. He encircles his head by removing his peis. Tamar abonam pas rish. What's the corner of the hair? Soif rish at the end. V'ezeu soif rish. What's that? Z'amash v'tzedov. Tzedov are the temples. He evens them out. L'achayri oznoi l'padachte. Padachte is his forehead, where no hair grows. Achayri oznoi is the bare space behind his ear. And he draws a line, a straight line from the forehead, across his temple, over to the back of his ear. And he shaves all that off. That's considered makiv pas reishe. Tani tana kamedir of chizda. So there was a chacham who presented a brisa to Rav Chizda as follows. You know, the pasuk says, "Loi sakifu paas reishchem." Right? Don't encircle, right? Don't shave off the hair of the peah, which leaves you with a straight circle, an even circle around your head. So he said a chiddush that not only is the barber giving the haircut chayev, even the customer is chayev as well. Tani tana kamei derav chizda, because it says leisakifu, plural lashon rabim, echad amake vechad nikiv leike, the barber and the customer get malchus. Amarli, he says, customer, what did he do wrong? He's sitting and just you think a person, imagine a person is eating his dates from his container over there. Barbila is like a sifter or something. So basically, as Ritva explains, what the mashal here is, suppose Reuven picked its dates on Yom Tov, and Shimon enjoyed the dates. Does he get malchus? No, I just ate it, I didn't pick it. So he's just getting the haircut. He didn't actually do an act. Why is he getting malchus? Omalei manda achol tamri barbila lachi is get malchus. Oh, so it must be, if you're going to insist that he does, damalach mani rabiudi. So if somebody asks you, who's the author of this price? Damalach mani, it must be rabiudi. It must be in line only with rabiudi's shita, who says, damar lav shein b'maisi loikin olav. If one commits a lav, even if it does not entail a physical expression, a physical act, such as this customer who's just on the receiving end of this haircut, he'll still get malchus. But otherwise, if you hold that, like the chachamim, malchus only applies if there's an actual maase. Rava, I mean, no. By payos, all would agree that perhaps there is malchus, even on the receiving end. But makav la'atzma, divrakur, this brisa is speaking that he's giving himself a haircut. He's doing an act of makiv pas reishei. So he gets double malchus, because he's playing the role of a makiv, and also the role of a nikav, being on the receiving end of this process. And since the Torah presents it in Lashon Rabim, like Kifu, he's going to get two malchus, one for a makiv, one for a nikav. Another pshat, Rav Ashi Omer, Messiah, Divrei HaKoel. No, he's just a customer in the barbershop, but he's moving his head and he's tilting himself to assist in the process. So again, all would agree in this case that the customer is liable as well. Amashkas pas zakanei, destroys the corners, those areas on his beard. Tan Rabbanan pas zakanei, where are they? Seif zakanei, the end, the corners. Veizeo seif zakanei, shiboyla zakanei. So all those corners, like we explained in the Mishnah, and of course, since it's a little bit unclear, there are many opinions, so we keep away from shaving anywhere along the beard area, unless it's down beneath by the neck area, which is certainly not included in this territory. Let's shift over to self-inflicting of wounds, scraping one's skin, cutting, right? Don't do that, right? Don't make a scrape. Yochal afilu sarat al beis shenafal. Perhaps he's liable, even if he does that, on account of a tragedy that he suffered, a financial tragedy. His house collapsed, the ship sunk. Tamalim, no. The Isser is only lenefesh, on account of a death. Eino chayiv el alameis bilvad. Umenayin lemasartit chameis shritis almeis echad shu chayiv glachas v'achas. What if he does five scrapes on account of one mace? Is he chayiv for each one? Yeah. How do we know? Tamaloyma b'seret. The Ravan says the extra vav is teaching us lachayiv al chasrita. Shritah, every act is deemed separate and independent with a separate malchus. Rabbi Yosi Omer, menayin lemasarit shrita achas al heimesim shu chayiv glachas v'achas. The other way around, he does one act of shrita on account of five mesim, as an expression of anguish for five separate stories. Tamaloyma lanefesh. The nefesh tells you lechayv klanesh nefesh. Each nefesh, each mace, generates a separate malchus. Even though it's just one act, has five liabilities. But we already used lenefesh a minute ago to limit it to a case of nefesh as opposed to on account of suffering a, you know, a different type of financial setback. Vafikte lebeis shenafal to rule out those situations. How could you use the same pasuk for this as well? Kesavar. The answer is Rabbi Yossi holds. Because of Rabbi Yossi, Shrita Ugdida Achasi. You see, one place, the Torah says, Veseret Lenefesh Leisitnu. In a different location, it says, Leisis Goydidu. Don't scrape yourself. Says Rabbi Yossi, it's all the same thing. Although Shrita primarily relates to scraping oneself without an instrument. And gedida typically refers to using an instrument, but really, they're interchangeable. Srita gedida achasi, and they're basically the same isser. Either way, if a person uses an instrument or not, he gets twice malchus, because it says, don't do srita, it says, don't do gedida. And by gedida, it says, lois is going to do, don't do it lames, on account of a mace. So we already know it from that pasuk that it's related to a mace. Ksivasim lemeis. So that's learned from that pasuk. And the word lenefesh by srita is extra to teach us that it's per mace. One srita for five mesim generates five malkus. So according to Rabbi Yossi, whether he uses a kli or he scrapes biyad just manually, there is a double malchus, because Shrita and Gedida are really one and the same. And there is one malchus for Shrita, one for Gedida, to tell you, two malchus, two liabilities per scrape. Continues Gemara, Omar Shmuel. Shmuel adds another point, a mesaret b'kli chayev. Therefore, if a person uses a kli to scrape himself, to wound himself, he's chayev, and chayev twice. Because there are two psukim, one which calls it Shrita, one Gedida, but it's all one and the same, like Rabbi Yossi said. And therefore, there's a double liability either way. Meisvei, here comes a kasha. Bryce says, no, Shrita, Gedida, Achasi, although they're similar, but there's a difference. Elisha Shrita means Beyad, he did it manually. Ugedida means Bekli. You can't mix the two. Who Dama Rabbi Yossi? The answer is Shmuel followed Rabbi Yossi's Shita, who has been established to hold that Shrita Gedida are synonymous, and the both psukim apply to either case. So either way, it generates two times malchus. Tani Tanakam et Rabbi Yechanan. There was a number represented a brisa to Rabbi Yechanan. Al meis bein biyad bein bekli chayev. So whether he did it by hand or with a kli, if it was on account of a meis who passed away, he's chayev. However, apparently they would do it as a form of service to an idol as well. So if he did it for that purpose, it depends. If he did it manually, scraped himself as a form of serving, a submission to a desirous chayiv, misa, but b'kli potter, if he used an instrument, he's potter. That's not the way to do it. What do you mean? If you look in the pasuk in Malachim, which describes the way they used to do this, it's the other way around. They used all kinds of sharp instruments to scrape themselves up. Apparently, instruments were used. Elaima, rather, let's switch around the version of the Brisa. Put it in line with the Pasuk. If he did it manually, he's potter, because that's not the derech to serve the Avodah Zarah. Only bekli, he is chayv. Okay, let's just summarize today's daf. The Isra Achila Maaseh Sheni, and likewise the inability to redeem it, is only once it arrives in Yerushalayim. Now the Braisa, which speaks about Maaseh Sheni, eaten outside Yerushalayim, being Chayv Malkus upon that, how are we speaking? So we have two pshatim. Either it was delivered into the city in a tevel form, and that's the chiddush that is considered having entered, or it never entered, but he's in the city, clutching it with some sort of pole. That's also considered having entered Yerushalayim. Karcha, generating a bald spot on account of a mace. From the pasuk by Kaihana, we learn that every single karcha is separate. We also know it applies to the entire head. From the pasuk by Yisrael, we learn that it's specific to alames. What is a shear? It's visible. Gris, adasha, or shtei saharis. If a person is makif pas reisha, removing the peyes, according to Tanakama with a tar, according to Rebelezer with other instruments as well, he's chayv malchus, and the makif and the nikif. Said the Braisa, he's chayv. How could the nikif be chayv? Either it's going like Rabbi Yudah, even though it doesn't involve a physical act, lav shem b'maisa, like an olav, because he allowed himself to be shorn, to be shaved. Possibility number two, he applied the haircut himself. Or thirdly, he assisted in the process. Seret, self-inflicting, scraping oneself, lames, is chayv. If it was an account of five mason, he's chayv each for each mace, even though it's just one act of srita. We learned that according to Rabbi Yossi, whether it was on biyad or bekli, he's chayv double malchus, and concluded regarding Avodah Zarah, his only misa when it was on bekli, which is derech avodasa bekach. Otherwise, he's pater. All the best to you and much aslacha.